Reaction to Secretary Vilsack at Commodity Classic and a new soybean herbicide. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Commodity Classic concluded on Saturday, but not before Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack took the stage to address the over 10,000 attendees on site. Our coverage from Commodity Classic brought to you by the Indiana Corn and Soybean Checkoff Organizations and by Seed Genetics Direct. C.J. Miller got reaction to Vilsack's speech from an Indiana farmer here in Orlando. C.J.?
Thank you, Eric. I'm here with J.R. Raisner of Raisner Farms in DuBois County in southern Indiana. He's also a director of the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, and he's with the National Corn Growers Association's National Corn Board. J.R., you were at Secretary Vilsack's speech Friday morning at Commodity Classic. What were your takeaways from his speech, and was there anything that you wish he would have addressed during his speech?
You know, he really focused on a lot of the climate programs that are out there, some of the carbon solutions programs that are coming forward, and really spoke to how those could be used to generate more revenue on our farms in Indiana and across the country. With that, I wish he would have spoke a little bit more to the programs that we're already using and how those may be implemented and benefit the farms, not only from an environmental standpoint, but also from a revenue standpoint.
JR, what are some of the main concerns that are impacting corn growers, once again, not just across Indiana, but across the entire country?
Well, the big one right now is trade, and especially with Mexico and the Mexican decree banning GMO white corn. Secretary Vilsack spoke to that, and USTR has initiated some conversations to make sure that we protect those markets that are so important to Indiana and to the corn growers around the country.
I know that it's very sticky, this whole situation with Mexico, but it's got to be nerve-wracking to know that Mexico, one of the biggest importers of U.S. corn, we're talking $1 billion plus that's up in the air because of the decisions that the Mexican government have made.
Yeah, it's very concerning to us. You know, as we look at these free trade agreements that we have, not only with USMCA, but with some of the other trading partners around the world, it's very concerning when they, pick out a specific crop and try to ban that within their country. We did have the USTR finally step in and provide us, a pathway to resolve this issue. Canada is also joined in and said that the Mexican decree is not correct under USMCA and that we need to get it resolved. It really puts into jeopardy potential other trade agreements if we don't resolve this and don't use the mechanisms within those trade agreements to resolve it.
One thing that isn't being talked about with Mexico's decree is that with a lot of these new scientific developments, a lot of new hybrids are being withheld from the market for fear of retribution from Mexico. Not only is this decree going to impact trade, but it's also had an impact on the development of scientific developments as far as new hybrids. So that also has to be discouraging as a corn producer.
Absolutely. You know, anytime we don't allow new technology to come to the marketplace because of certain trade barriers, it definitely affects our ability to grow that crop, to grow it in a more sustainable way, and to really provide that food and fuel that the country and the world so need.
The Farm Bill. The current Farm Bill is set to expire September 30th of this year. What are your concerns or what are your thoughts about the Farm Bill, and what is your push to federal lawmakers in terms of making sure that farmers are taken care of with this Farm Bill?
Well, I'm hopefully optimistic we can get it done, by that deadline. And I know NCGA and our other commodity organizations are working hard to make sure that happens. Within the Farm Bill, I think we have to protect, first and foremost, our safety nets and the primary one being crop insurance. We have to maintain that. That is the best safety net that a farm can have. And as we look at other programs, increasing funding where possible, especially in MAP and market assistance program and foreign market development, to generate those new markets that Indiana corn farmers need and corn farmers across the country. And then looking at ways that ARC and PLC can be improved, fighting for those improvements and making sure that we have all the safety nets in place, to keep us able to keep growing food and fuel for the world, especially when we have a natural disaster or some kind of localized event that may affect production.
Have you had any conversations either with Jim Baird, who's on the House Ag Committee, or with Mike Braun, who's on the Senate Ag Committee, concerning the Farm Bill for 2023?
We always are in contact with those offices. We have had some contact with them. We're just letting them know what our wants and needs are, We're making sure we stay engaged with those offices, with those two being on the Ag Committee. It's very important that we maintain a good relationship and stay engaged with them to make sure they know what we need as an industry.
There are some who are on both the House Ag Committee and the Senate Ag Committee who would prefer additional funding for nutrition and those sort of efforts. We're talking school lunch programs, those subsidies and whatnot. Nutrition certainly will be a big part of this farm bill, but once again, the big push is to remind lawmakers, from what I hear from a lot of different ag organizations, hey, don't forget about us farmers as well.
Absolutely, and like I mentioned, the safety nets within the farm bill are vitally important to us, to make sure we can maintain our operations in a disaster. The SNAP program is something that is needed within our country and is a great program, but we also have to make sure that we're fighting for what we need so we can grow that food and fiber that the country needs.
I'm going to pivot here. Planting season fast approaching. How has planning stages for planting come along, and is everything ready to go once that ideal day of planting begins?
I think we're in better shape this year than last year. We're definitely still seeing some supply chain issues, but for the most part it seems that everything has been able to get in a little bit quicker and a little more timely than in the past. So I think we're set up to have a good season. We're definitely ready to go and looking forward to some warmer, drier weather.
Once again, J.R. Raisner of Raisner Farms in DuBois County, also with the Indiana Corn Marketing Council and the National Corn Growers Association's National Corn Board. Reporting from Commodity Classic, I'm C.J. Miller.